بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. This is Surah Al-Falaq, a surah which was revealed in Medina and comprises of 5 ayats. Falaq, it means the daybreak or the dawn. Falaq, when morning enters, when your time for sahri comes to an end and the time for fajr has entered, it's called falaq. Falaq means the burst apart, and it is that time when the rays of the sun is, it gives you a message that the sun is on its way. It's on its way coming up to rise. And the glare of the sun, which is yet a little bit further away, it starts to shine on the horizon, thus creating a type of whiteness on the horizon. That is called falak. As long as that does not appear, darkness prevails on the horizon. And that is how one will know that fajr has entered. When he looks at the horizon, there is some sort of whiteness and brightness beginning to show up itself. That is what falak means, the break of dawn. This surah, when we look at it, it is a very powerful and a very great surah, coupled with the other surah after it, which is called Surah An-Nas. Mankind is asked in this surah to seek refuge in Allah from a few things. We are all commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do it. It is not really information, but it is Allah asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, commanding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell us what to say and what to do. It is not really information. Look at what the surah says. Qul. Qul means say. An address to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say to the human beings, say to the believers, say to mankind. What should we say? A'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of the dawn. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of the daybreak, the Lord of the break of dawn. I seek refuge in Him. From what? Min sharri ma khalaq. From the evil of that which He, Allah, has created. One. Wa min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab. And from the evil of the darkness as it overspreads and it settles. Two. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And I seek refuge in the Lord of the daybreak from the evil of the woman who blow on the knot. Mean from the woman who practice witchcraft and black magic. Two. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And from the evil of the envious one when he practices envy. Four things in this surah we are asked to seek refuge in Allah from. Four things. And in Surah An-Nas, one thing, which is shaitan, or who is shaitan. This surah teaches us, when we look at what it is telling us, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordered by Allah to say, and each and every time we read it, we are saying, not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what it is, a'udhu means I seek refuge. Na'udhu means we seek refuge. Sometimes we say na'udhu billah, we seek refuge in Allah. It comes from the verb al-ayam, means seeking refuge in someone, from the noun. And this is the verb, you know, it's present future tense in the first person, I seek refuge. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation, so when he said it, it was for him, I seek refuge in Allah. But it's a revelation to the entire mankind. So every time you and I say it, we are individually seeking refuge in Allah from these things. So So when I say Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, it means, O Allah, I am seeking refuge in you from, you know, who is the Lord of the daybreak, from these things. This is why these things are so powerful. It is a dua then, a teaching from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from four different types of evils. Four different types of evils. One, the evil of every single evil which Allah has created, we seek refuge in Allah from that. Every single evil, whether we know it, whether we do not know it. Now, that's supposed to include every single type of evil and mischief on the face of the earth. You know, we say to Allah, min sharri ma khalaq, from the evil of that which Allah created. So whatever evil that has been created, we are seeking refuge in Allah from those things. But even though that was mentioned in a general sense, Allah specifies three types of evil which specifically we are asked to seek refuge in Allah from. Now that places a little emphasis on the types of evil which I mentioned, else it could have fallen under the general meaning of, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from all the evil which you have created. But besides that general meaning, Allah mentions three types. One, min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab, that, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the evil of the darkness as it overspreads. Why there is a special emphasis to that? Because of the fact that many of the evils that occurs, it occurs in the period of the night. It is time, the time when people will take the chance to do witchcraft. It is the time where people will do black magic. It is the time where people will invoke many different evil spirits and shayateen, because they want to do it at a time when it is hidden, when people cannot see them. So they do it when the darkness comes in and it settles. That is the time you will see people doing every sort of evil. So when we say to Allah, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the darkness as it overspreads, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from the evils that goes on during those hours. And may Allah save us. May Allah save us. You will be amazed to know the types of evil that takes place. That even today, where people speak about, we are living in the space age and modern times, human sacrifice continues to be done to feed evil jinnats and shayateen. Young children and babies are kidnapped to be fed to evil shayateen to do something. Many of these things occurs in the period of the night. So Allah is teaching us a lesson, and the lesson is to be aware of the darkness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself says, he says, when the time of Maghrib appears, when that darkness time appears, then cause your little children to be indoors, not outside. That is the time that all the evil shayateen now begins to spread all over the place. This is their time of, we say, freeing up or spraying up. This is the time they come out in their full power and they move about and they roam about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about that. That is the time. This is why sometimes also, if our little children, babies were outside during that time, we find they can't sleep properly. They have bad dreams. Especially during the dark hours, the Prophet ﷺ said that. Because of the fact, with the darkness, it brings many different things. The people practice their witchcraft, their black magic and all their evils, and also with it, the evil shayateen and jinnat find that time to be loose, let loose. So we seek refuge in Allah from that. وَمِن شَرِ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, and oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the evil of the woman who blow on the knots, and from the evil of the person, the envious one, as he practices envy. Now, this surah here, when we look at both surahs, because both surahs were revealed one time. Both surahs were revealed one time, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas.
Both of them comprise of 11 ayats and 11 verses. When we look at the meaning, we will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to put all our trust, tawakkul and confidence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the type of evils that are rampant on the face of the earth today, Allah is the only one who can save us from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can save us. And when we entrust ourselves, because Allah is the creator of hands and the creator of benefits. He is the giver of hands and the giver of benefits. So when we entrust ourselves into Allah's special care, refuge and protection, then Allah's protection will come to us. It is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was in Medina, someone did black magic on him. Labid bin As'an, the Jew, somehow he managed to get the comb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did black magic on the comb with the hair. What Labid did, as he caught hold of the hair, that sometimes he will say something and he will forget that he said it. And sometimes he will say something thinking he said it already, but he did not say it. It had this effect on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned by Imam Bukhari. Until one night when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying on the bed, according to the riwayat, the effect of this black magic and witchcraft lasted for 6 months. On the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 6 months, very much affected. And he was lying on his bed when two angels came. One angel sat at his head, the other angel sat at the feet. And the angel at the head was saying and asking the angel at the feet, "Ma li hadha rasul? What has become of the rasul? What has become of Allah's messenger?" The other one was replying. They were making this conversation so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will learn about what was done to him. And the other one replied, the one at the foot replied, that Labid ibn Asam and his two daughters, they practiced, they did witchcraft and they did black magic on him. And the other one asked, what did they do? The other one replied about the knots tied and the things, the recitation and the incantations were blown on the knots. And then the other one asked, where is that? And the other angel said, it is in such and such a well, beneath such and such a stone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was awake, he was not asleep. He got up, took the companions, and he went straight there. And when he caught hold of that here, and that which they had tied the knots unto, these two surahs were revealed. 11 knots, 11 ayats were revealed, Allahu Akbar. And he began to recite the ayats one by one. And when he recited the first ayah, the first knot loosened itself. When he recited the second ayah, the second knot loosened itself. And upon the recitation of each ayah, all the knots loosened itself until the last knot. And as soon as the knots were loosened, he got an immediate recovery from that which had happened to him. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who also is a manba and a pillar of rahmat, he never disclosed the name to anyone, the name of the Jewish person. He never, for the amount of years he lived in Medina, he never disclosed the name of that person to anyone who did him that. Nor did he take revenge for that which was done to him. Allahu Akbar. In fact, the person who did it used to come in front of him. He never turned his face away from the person, nor did he ever give anyone the impression that this man did me some harm. He continued to live like that. Aisha asked, "O Prophet of Allah, why didn't you do something to that person?" He said, "O Aisha, I have already gained recovery by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is enough. Allah has cured me. That is enough." And he did not do any harm. He did not even make a bad dua. Nor did he even say the Sahabas were saying to him, "O Messenger of Allah, tell us, who is this person? We will go and kill him." The Prophet says, "No.
he did not even disclose the name. However, it is after some time, then he said, this is the person who had done that. But he did not say it for the purpose of, you know, the people avenging, or the people killing him, or the people waging jihad against that person. So this is the place when these two surahs were revealed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that these surahs are so great in its benefit and are so valuable that when we look at the benefits mentioned in the surahs, hardly any Muslim could do without these surahs. You know why? Because put these two surahs together, by reciting these surahs, it protects us from the many different evils and the harms that can be done by people or by the evil shayateen and the jinnat. So this is why in this surah now, when it spoke about, and I seek refuge in Allah from the darkness as it overspreads, as it suckers in, then it says, وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, and I seek refuge in Allah from the woman who blew on the knots, uqad, the knots that they tied. The woman who practiced witchcraft, because this was revealed to cure the Prophet ﷺ from that act which they did, and they did the act of tying knots. But in general, nafafat fil uqad refers generally to people who practice witchcraft. People who practice witchcraft. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the mu'annas or the feminine gender when he spoke about that aspect of seeking refuge in Allah, that I seek refuge in Allah from those who practice witchcraft. Allah brought the feminine gender, that I seek refuge in Allah from the women who practice the witchcraft and black magic. Besides being the verse which was revealed, you know, to let's say, as an answer to the women who practiced the witchcraft upon, because they were the two daughters of Labid, practiced the witchcraft. Generally, it is seen that in this aspect of witchcraft and black magic, many women get involved. Many women also get involved in practicing witchcraft and practicing black magic. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about nafasat during the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many women who poisoned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Jewish woman poisoned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who was the person who paid another person to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he could not kill him, he killed the uncle? Hinda, a woman. These Jewish women were the ones who did black magic. They invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on another occasion, and they asked him to wait outside. They went up on the roof with a big stone to throw it down on his head and kill him. Immediately Jibreel alayhi salam arrived and said, O Prophet of Allah, move from this place. Jewish people, the women again. So generally speaking, most of the time, in comparison to men who may do it, women will outnumber them. So Allah says to us also, you, O believers, should seek refuge in Allah from all those people who may practice witchcraft and black magic. Then Allah says to us, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, and you should seek refuge in Allah also from the evil of the envious one who practices his envy. Envy. Why? Specifically, Allah has made mention of hasad and envy and jealousy. It is so that because of the fact that it is because of envy and jealousy, many of these harms come into existence. Many harms and injury, black magic, sorcery, witchcraft, whatever have you, it is caused because of envy. You cannot say your neighbor's shop prosper, you must do something so his business may fall. Na'uzubillah. It is amazing to know how many Muslims have got themselves involved in so many things. You cannot say, okay, you have a business, you want to, but you alone want the risk of Allah. No one must get risk of Allah also. So if a person will open something, you are checking someone so that yours may rise and the other one may go down. It happens among family members. It happens among brothers and sisters. And so many cases, I mean, na'uzubillah, it is sad to say, but Muslims are affected with these problems so much because, again, of hasad, envy and jealousy. Someone envied you. Someone is jealous of you. So you can't see a way in life, so to say. You can't prosper in life. You must always be the one struggling for revival and struggling for survival. And that is where people want to keep you. Allah says, the envy one, the envious one, he practices a lot of mischievous deeds. A person who envies another one will not stop doing something wrong against the person. You may envy him, you may backbite him. You will envy him, you will slander him. You will envy him, you will falsely accuse him. You will envy him, you will make a mockery of him. You will envy him, you will make up tales and fabricated stories about him. You will envy him, you will side with the enemies against him. Because envy, my dear brothers and sisters, hasad was the very first sin in the heavens and the very first sin on the earth. Shaitan envied Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam got the honor as a human being. Allah made him above the angels. So he asked the angels, prostrate to Adam. Allahu Akbar. No one has ever gotten such an honor that Allah is commanding one of the most innocent set of his creation, who are the angels, the mighty angels created out of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created them out of light. He created the jinnats out of fire. خَلَقَ الْجَانَ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ, from the fire, as mentioned in Surah Rahman. And he created human beings out of clay, dirt mixed up with water. The Quran says potter's clay. Allah gave izzat to human beings, and representing human being was Adam alayhi salam. So when the honor was given to Adam, it was not only a specific person as Adam, but it was a sharf, it was an honor to human beings also. The status of human beings, this is why human beings have the title of Ashraful Makhluqat, the best of Allah's creation. So many thousands and millions of species Allah has created. Who is the best of Allah's creation? The human being. This is why from among human beings, Allah has chosen the Anbiya's, the apostles. The apostles. So Shaitan envied him. He was jealous of Adam. Why should Adam get such an honor when Shaitan was the person who was above the angels in Jannah? So that was a sin committed. He was outcast. Then he whispered into Adam alayhi salam's ear and his wife. He came to the wife, told the wife, the Quran says, he spoke to the wife, worked on the wife. The wife accepted. She came to the husband, and then they did the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. Cain envied Abel. Huh. This is why he killed his brother Abel. Abel was a humble person. Abel was an obedient person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised his status, so he got more respect from Adam alayhi salam and Nabi, who was his father. And certain things that Abel got because of who he was, Cain did not accept that. So both of them, the Quran says, when both of them placed the Qurban to Allah and the sacrifice, Allah accepted the sacrifice of Abel and did not accept the sacrifice of Cain. Cain became even more envious. He says, I will kill you. The Quran mentions, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, I will kill you. What was the response of Abel? Habil. He said, if you want to kill me, then I will not stain my hand with that dirty work. Go ahead, do what you have to do. Very humble. If you want to kill me, I am not of those who will kill you. I am not going to dirty my hand into that work. And so, the Quran said that Qabil, who is Cain, he killed his brother Habil. And then we have the incident of the vulture coming, you know, and showing him how he should bury his brother by digging up the grave. You know, that was an incident which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make happen, because it's the first human being who has passed away on the face of the earth. What do you do with that? No knowledge, the very first man who died on the face of the earth. What do you do? No concept of grave and digging a trench. So two vultures came, they fought each other, one killed the other one, the Quran says, and then he saw the raven, as it is called in the Quran, taking, you know, the feet, moving the dirt, and buried the other one. He says, oh. Then he took a lesson from that. He dug up a trench and he put his brother in that. So the first sin in the heavens and in the first sin on the face of the earth. And it is that sin, my dear brothers and sisters, I've explained, it will make people restless for their entire life until they do not fulfill that envy and jealousy in their heart, that they have gotten their contentment, that now he cannot move up, now this cannot happen, now that cannot happen. He feels relief when he has fulfilled the evil aspirations of his envy and jealousy, which was to meet him to another person. So this is the lesson we get from this. In this surah, Surah Al-Falaq, we call one name of Allah, and when that one name of Allah, we are seeking refuge from four things. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. I seek refuge in the Lord of the Dawn. One name of Allah. Why? Although Allah has so many attributes, qualities, names, in the very beginning of the Quran, He is known as Rabbul Alameen, Malik Yawm al-Din, etc., etc. Here, A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq has been mentioned. And the connection of that attribute of Allah to what is mentioned in the ayat, the Mufassirin and commentators have given, that Allah is the Rabb and the Lord of the daybreak and the dawn. What happens at dawn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the darkness that spread and He brings in light. What does Allah do? Given to Him the title of Rabbul Falaq, the Lord of the daybreak, the Lord of the dawn. He removes the darkness which came and engulfed the world during the period of the night. And what He brings? Light. Clearness. So too, we seek refuge in Allah, who is that Lord, just as He removes the darkness of the night to bring in the shine of the sun, so too we ask Him to remove the darkness of the evils, the witchcraft, the black magic, and bring a relief from those things. That is also darkness. That is also darkness. In the other surah, as we said, four things, the name of Allah is called for four things. To seek refuge from four things. From all the evil which He has created. One, from the evil of the darkness when it spreads over the earth. From the evil of the women who practice witchcraft, black magic. And from the evil of the envious eye or the envious one. When that person practices his envy. Surah An-Nas, also a surah revealed in Medina. As I said, both of these surahs were revealed at the same time. And this surah comprises of six verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. Allah says to the Prophet, say to them and say, أعوذ برب الناس. I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind. I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind. Malik al-Nas. Who is the Malik? The sovereign, the king of all human beings. Ilahin nas, the God of mankind. 3 names we are calling of Allah, seeking refuge and wanting from wanting. In Surah Al-Falaq, we call one name seeking refuge from 4 things. And in Surah Nas, we call 3 names to seek refuge from wanting because of the dangers of that wanting. The dangers of that. So we call Allah by some of His mighty attributes. He is the Rabbun Nas. He is the Rabbun Nas. The Lord of all mankind. Malikin Nas. The Master of all mankind. Ilahin Nas. The God of all mankind. What do we seek refuge from? Min sharril waswasil khannas. Min sharril waswasil khannas. From the evil whisperer who whispers and withdraws. That is the shaitan. And Allah has given two. He has described him with 2 different words. Al-waswas. Waswas comes from the word waswasa, waswisu. It means to whisper, to hint. So you won't hear someone telling you to do something wrong, but you will feel to do something wrong. That feeling is the result of a whisper that came into you. And the evil one is whispering. But Allah tells us also, He is not such a person who will keep on coming and He will remain there right to your side. No, no, no. He does it and He moves away. He gives you the go. He leaves you all by yourself. So He whispered something to you, and He is al-khannas, to retreat, to withdraw, and to move away. That is the shaitan. Allah says, what does he do? Alladhi waswisu fi sudurin nas. He is that one who whispers in the hearts of men. That is where he works. He whispers in the hearts of men. He brings about an idea. He brings about a thought. He brings about a good feeling of doing something. He has already whispered. And he goes away. And then he leaves man to just do what he whispered to them. Allah says, that evil whisperer, who is the shaitan, who is al-khannas, he is min al-jinnati wan-nas, from among jinns and from among human beings. So the one who whispers to us, evil whispers, he can be from 2 species. One, the shaitan himself, who whispers to us, Satan, shaitan al-rajim, the rejected Satan, and human beings also, wan-nas. So he has, shaitan has agents. The big shaitan, Satan al-la'im, the one who was cast out from Jannah, he has his entire progeny. And he has his large armies working for him. From among the jinnats and from among human beings also. So he uses these 2 instruments of his to what? To misguide and to mislead people. So shaitan can come also from the shayateen, which are created by whispering in us evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. As the Quran says, on the day of judgment, people will blame shaitan and they will say, oh Allah, it is shaitan who has caused us to be misguided. And what will Satan say? La talumuni walumu anfusakum. Do not blame me today, but blame your own selves. Blame your own self. I only hinted to you and you did it. Do not blame me. And this is the waswasa and the evil whispers, where shaitan will come and he will put things in our mind. And he can do it because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that shaitan moves in the human being like the flowing of blood. What that hadith means is that just as our body is made in such a way that the substance of blood flows throughout our entire body, to our brains, to our heart, to every, you know, part in our body, so too shaitan can flow throughout our entire body. He's created from such a thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, he can flow throughout our body. So he tampers with our brains, and he tampers with our heart, and he brings evil thoughts into our minds, and he brings evil whispers into our mind, and we entertain those things, and we act upon it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the evil, something comes up in the heart, then the man either confirms it or he rejects it. In other words, when it comes up, the man may either go according to what comes up, or he may go against it, when there is an evil thought. So shaitan will tell you, do not do this, when it is a good thing. If we obey him and we do not do it, it's a confirmation of that whisper that came. And if we do not do what he said and we went against it, we reject what he said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned to us in many different ahadith of the different types of shayateen there are. In Tirmizi hadith, it is mentioned about the shaitan who comes while we are performing wuzu, his name is Walahan. He comes and he makes you forget what you have done. And he creates waswasa in your mind about how many limbs you have washed already and what is yet to be washed. So you are at a point and you are thinking, did I make my masa on the head or not? You can't remember. So there is a special shaitan for that. And there is a special shaitan for the salat also who comes in. That he comes in the salat when we end salat and he makes us forget how many rakats we have performed, in what place we are in. For every single thing there is a shaitan coming, and they have different names mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is the shaitan from there. And the other shaitan is from among human beings. It's from among human beings. When you hear one of your brothers or your sisters or your friends or your family members inviting you towards something that is against Islam, know that shaitan is using that person as an agent to reach to you. When they tell you to do something that is haram, or they stop you from doing something that is compulsory, know that is a shaitan coming towards you. Because Satan himself said, I will come in front of them, from behind them, from at their right side, from at their left side. Some of the Syrian commentators have given the interpretation of the ayah to mean that he will come through our near and dear ones, our closest ones, from our parents he will come through them. He will come through them. He will come through our children. He will come through our lives. From every direction, his purpose is to get us away from the straight path. So a person who has accepted Islam, mashallah, you're performing salat, your parents are still non-Muslim, they will say, no, my son, you have to continue to go to church. You know, Jesus is the only savior. And you have to continue to go to the temple. Else, you're going to get a real punishment. The anger of our gods will come on you. Shaitan is coming through them. Yes. Who else will tell you to commit shirk except shaitan? Not Allah. He will come through your children also. That sometimes you want to do something good. Lead a constructive life. But the children is pulling you back in so many different ways. Children, yes, they can pull back parents. They can stop parents from doing something good also. They can become an obstacle. This is why Allah says in the Holy Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, say, if your fathers and your mothers and your wives and your children and your property and your wealth have more priority to you than Allah, then you just wait for the decision of Allah to come upon you. You just wait for that decision. That if these things have become an obstacle now, you just wait for that decision of Allah. تَرَبَّصُوا فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. The Holy Quran says, wait, you wait until Allah's decision come over you. He's going to come through the wives or spouses in general. A woman wants to perform her salat and she wants to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become obedient to Allah and cover herself properly as Allah has outlined in the Holy Quran, there is the shaitan now working through your closest person, who will be your husband. He says, listen, if you want to continue to be my wife, you got to get this thing out of your head. I'm not going to walk with a person like that. You look old-fashioned. You must look good. These big clothes that you're wearing covering your body, wear some thin clothes. Wear some tight-fitted clothes for your body. Now, uzubillah, every one of those things are against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single thing that woman might be invited towards, they are completely haram. Here is the shaitan working again. Working again. And wherever we are, whether it is the place where we are working in, the shaitans continue to work through the people we associate with. Man, what's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you people? You people say this and say that, and you know, and all these things, they come in the form of pressure. Why do you have to do this, and why do you have to do that? And it comes in so many different ways. Because Allah says to us that the one who whispers evil whispers in your heart can be from among human beings and from among jinnats.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. وبعد، تسجيلات الجهاد الإسلامية بالرياض يسرها أن تجدد اللقاء معكم في هذا الإصدار الذي يحمل في طياته الإصدار 46 من إصداراتنا. وقارئنا في هذا الإصدار هو الشيخ عبد الله بن محمد المتروك. وإصدارنا هذا يشتمل على ترتيل كامل للقرآن الكريم من صلاة التراويح والقيام برواية حفص عن عاصم. هذا وقد تم توزيعه على 22 شريطا، حيث يبدأ كل شريط بسورة وينتهي بسورة عند سورة البقرة التي ضمنت شريطين. وقد فعلنا ذلك تحقيقا لرغبات الإخوة والأخوات الكرام، سائلين الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يتقبل منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال، إنه سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. والآن مع الشريط 22 والأخير الذي يحتوي على جزء عنا، ومع التلاوة.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عما يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون. كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون. ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا وجعلنا نومكم سباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات ألفافا إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا إن جهنم كانت مرصادا للطاغين مآبا لا دخول فيها أحقابا لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن يزيدكم إلا عذابا إن المتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه